40 Z's overnight, just a place to rest. When he went into the cemetery, unknown to him, they had just dug a fresh grave. And so, lo and behold, he falls into that grave. He does his best, jumping and scratching and clawing to get out of the grave, but he can't get out, so he just goes over and he sits down on the corner of the grave and he just falls asleep. Just so happens that there was a young man who had just taken his girlfriend home, and he was late for his curfew, so he decided to take the shortcut through the cemetery. So he goes through the cemetery, and he too falls in that very same grave. He jumps and scratches and tries to climb his way up out of the grave, but he can't get out. And the hobo sees all this, so he stands up and he goes over to the young man and taps him on the shoulder and says, "You might as well get used to it. You ain't getting out of this grave tonight." But that boy did. He had more motivation than the hobo did. Hey, that was fairly funny. But I want to take a serious side here. Our United States of America is a great nation, has many great qualities. But we cannot deny in this day and time that our nation is suffering from some problems about their relationship to the God that they ask to bless them all the time when they sing at baseball games. Are you with me? We have a nation of beauty. I will absolutely never forget when the first time that I stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon and looked across that massive cavern, and it looked like somebody had painted this scene out there, and I was awestruck by the beauty of that place. We have freedom in America. I can stand up here today, unlike many of our brothers and sisters in other countries, and I'm going to declare to you to the best of my ability the Word of God and call for some action in prayer from you. But in many places across the world, our brothers and sisters do not have that freedom. Our nation has always been a nation of generosity. If there is any nation on the face of the earth that gives more than us, I can't imagine which one it would be. When there is tragedy around the globe, it is America that takes the lead, that stands up. Even in our own nation, when we have hurricanes that hit, or fires that come, or tornadoes that sweep through, it is Americans through the Red Cross and Salvation Army and Disaster Relief of Southern Baptist and other organizations that bring generous gifts to those people who are hurting. This is a nation of creativity. We have scientists and we have doctors and we have other persons, inventors that have risen to world fame because of things that they have brought to the table. We have stars and singers and dancers and artists that God has blessed as a part of our population, and we are filled with creativity. And our nation has a vibrancy. We have energy, we have strength, we have desire to get up and do something new each day across our country. And despite all of our faults and all the people who are trying to get it off of there, our money still declares, "In God we trust." And although I may not think everybody's still on the same page when they sing the song, it is kind of refreshing in America that there are still people who ask, "God bless America, land that I love," that we could sing that as a population, and it kind of be our second national anthem, is an amazing thing. Last Wednesday, in our study of the letters to the churches in Revelation, we looked at Revelation chapter 3 about the church at Sardis. And the Bible says this to this church: "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you." These words, penned by the Apostle John, revealed to him through Jesus Christ, were to a sleeping, dying church, but those words could be about America in 2018. Because I want to offer you today that America has fallen in a grave, and cannot get out. And only the warnings from God's preachers and God's people in the Holy Spirit may save her in the end. I am often reminded when we study the things of the end times, of the last days, that there is no great power that comes from the West to Israel's aid. Where is America in the end of days? I think about our sins. I remember the first time when I was old enough to understand what an abortion was, and I discussed it with my mom at our kitchen table, and she gave me godly wisdom as a lady in Christ. And I cannot tell you how through the years I have grown in my sheer terror and hurt and pain that we still in America are aborting 1.5 million babies a year. As a matter of fact, I can snap my fingers, and every time I do, there is a baby aborted. That has got to be a shame to us. I am in fear for our students and our workers being shot at school or on the job. I remember when I was a kid going to school, the worst fear my parents might have had was that I was going to go there and be bullied by somebody. You don't usually think about going to work and being in terror of someone coming in and shooting people. Where is safety and where is sensibility in America today? I think about the morals or lack of that are directed by a Hollywood script rather than by a holy book Bible. There are shows that we used to love in America, like the Andy Griffith Show. It's ridiculous when you look back at that. It's a lot of fun. It was number one even in the eighth year that it was on the air when it ceased to have new shows. But today we're taking off Last Man Standing and other shows that have a conservative viewpoint because they're an embarrassment to America. We got to get rid of those. I think about the confusion, the racism and the violence in regard to what it means to be made in the image of God. We say those words, we teach them from the book of Genesis, we declare them as the truth of how God made us, but the world around us treats each other like whatever color their skin is, they are better than those of another race or ethnic group. We are not all made in the image of God in their thinking, and we are confused about, can a boy be a boy? Can a girl be a girl? Which bathroom do I go in when I go to Target? This is weird in America. Would you agree with me? And murder. I looked on the list of the top cities in our nation that have the highest murder rate. Memphis is not number one, just number three. St. Louis is number one by per capita population. We talk about Chicago being so great, but they are more like number 8 or 10 per capita because they got so many people in Chicago. But when do numbers start being people? And why does it have to be in Memphis that almost every night the lead story is somebody was shot? And drugs? I've never been anybody who took drugs. When I was in high school, I knew the kids who had drugs, and I knew that if I made a phone call in about 5 minutes, I could have anything I wanted that I could afford to buy. I knew that my high school, we had free time during the day, and if you had free time, you could go out into the football stadium, and you could smoke cigarettes if you wanted. And sometimes those cigarettes got kind of twisted and a little shorter and smelled funny. I wasn't stupid. I knew what was happening, but I never took drugs. And I am confounded why, if we really wanted to in America, why we can't keep drugs off of the streets of our cities and out of the hands of our people. And opioid epidemic? Is it doctors? Is it people not following the prescription rules? I don't know, but we have an epidemic here, and this is crazy in America. We talk about how beautiful our country is and the freedom we have and the great things that we can enjoy. And the rest of the world looks at us and say, you're all filled with drugs. Why don't you enjoy the life that you have been given? Suicide? My heart breaks whenever someone commits suicide because I think as long as you stay alive, there's always hope for you. But if Satan convinces you to take your life, we can't help you. We can't bring peace to your troubled heart. We can't help you work through an issue. We can't help you restore relationships. I could go on and on. I don't have that much time today, but untrustworthy media sources, family upheavals, abuse. We have some children in here, so I don't want to say too much about this, but last week I read a story about a lady who was carrying a child. And she was well along in that. And she asked her boyfriend if he would punch her and hit her and kick her so she would lose the baby. And he did, and she did. And they went to the jail, and it happened in the state of California. And because she was agreeable to it, she was not sent to jail, to prison. It was not illegal in that state as long as the lady was okay with it. And I'm grieving for Americans today that we will allow that to take place and not be burdened by the shame that that is on any people. Our national debt. Hey, I like smooth roads. If I can ever find one around this area. But I'm not willing to go into more and more trillions of dollars of debt. I don't understand what a trillion is. I know what a billion is. You know what? If Austin came up here and I had it to my stack here and I gave him a dollar every second, it would take me 31.7 years, Austin, to give you $1 billion. Billions, a lot. One of the senators from Illinois when I was a kid said, you know, a billion here and a billion there, and after a while, you're spending a lot of money. That's true. What our nation is like, I don't want to say, trillions of dollars in debt. I mean, I don't know a lot about debt, but I think eventually somebody is going to want to get paid off. Foreign ownership. You know, the Bible teaches us that's one of the curses that comes against a nation. When foreigners come in and they buy up your land and control your businesses, it's to our shame that we are not paying more attention to letting people outside of America own America. I did hear this other story, too, that when the Kim Jong-un of North Korea was going to bomb or send missiles over to the United States, that China said, don't do that. You might hit a Walmart. That was pretty funny. Uncontrolled immigration. I don't know what the answer to this is. I get stuck on the word illegal. But I don't think we ought to mistreat people. We ought to figure out something there. I don't know what the answer is. What about student college loans? In America, are we ever going to wake up and realize that we graduate a generation of people and they are in debt for the next 20 years trying to pay off their college education? That doesn't make any sense to me. And we strap that generation. Otherwise, they could get out there and get in the field that they've been educated for and trained to work and make production for this country and produce something. No. They got to still live in mom and dad's basement so that they could pay off their student loans. And that leads to a lot of frustrated moms and dads. I'm joking. But you get my point. The treatment of our veterans, the elderly, the genuine poor and needy, and our schools that are under attack. DeSoto County just got a letter from those who don't want anything Christian happening in our schools to try to get all of that junk out of our schools here in DeSoto County. I wonder if we'll ever hear from anybody to speak up against that kind of control. And our government that has lost its way and holds no credibility with its citizens. Are you proud of Congress, maybe some bright stars in there, but as a whole, I'm embarrassed that they can't get along to find some answers to something. Okay, well, how about reading from the Psalm? See if I can make sense of this. I'm going to tell you right up front that I'm going to try to preach the rest of this sermon very briefly, because at the end, we're going to start something here on this first Sunday of July that we're going to do throughout the month. I'm going to ask you each Sunday to spend some moments in prayer. If you're uncomfortable with that, all you got to do is sit there and be still while other people are praying, but I hope you'll join in as I give you prompts for praying. So let's look at this scripture, Psalm 33, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army, no warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Four quick principles that I want to share with you today, because even in our own foyer, we have a banner that says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Can America claim that? In verse 12, I want you first of all to see that the choice is God's. If we're going to have a hope for our great nation, the choice is God's. The word here is blessed. It is really like happy with three exclamation points at the end. Happy, happy, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's really what it means in the original language. And it doesn't really make any difference what nation. I mean, originally this was assigned to Israel. But the word there is really a generic word that can mean any nation, whether it is Israel or any pagan nation or any Gentile nation, any group of people, any tribe. And it says to us that the supreme authority, who is the one who leads our nation, that has to be Jehovah or Yahweh. It has to be the God of Israel. But it does not guarantee it to us. It is God's choice that we be his possession or his inheritance. I love my country. But I will tell you, Americans have to realize that God is the one who chooses the nation that is blessed. And for those nations he blesses, he has some expectations. And we have no right as Americans to claim that we are the inheritors of what God used to say about Israel. We cannot claim it or force God to bless us when we live in such opposition to his ways. And just because we have enjoyed some favor does not mean we have rightly honored God with our lives. I would love for God to choose us and to bless us, but he is not obligated to do so. Does that make sense? It is his choice who he gives his favor to and who can be called blessed, because our nation has God as its Lord. I don't think we can claim that anymore. And I think Americans better think twice before they stand up at a sporting event and say, "God bless America." Oh, we want him to bless us, but God does not send his blessings without some kind of requirement from us, the way we live and the way we use it. Now, I'm taking a risk here because I know some of you are going to be mad at me today. That's all right. That's part of my job, is to make people mad. Not all the time, but occasionally, if I have to say the truth. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me ask you honestly, is Jehovah God, the God of the Scriptures, really Lord of the United States of America? If you are honest, you have to say, no, he is not. We have no right to claim that he owes us, is obligated to bless us in any special way above any other nation. Second thing I want us to see here in verses 13 through 15 is that the work is God's. I love this as I dug into it and kind of understood what some of the words mean here. It tells us that God is watching. He is observing. Really, it says nothing escapes his gaze. So when God looks at America, or he looks at North Korea, or looks at Nigeria, or Russia, or Great Britain, when he looks at those nations, nothing gets by him. He understands what they're doing and what their ways really are, and he knows about the United States of America. You remember when Lot was living in Sodom, and Abraham understood that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham went to the angel of the Lord and said, "Will you defend these cities and preserve them if there's just like 50 righteous people?" And God said, "Yes, if there's 50 righteous people, I will preserve them." What if there's just 20 righteous people? What if there's just 10 righteous people? Turns out that there was about 1.5 righteous people in Sodom. God looks at America today and says, "Look, I see what's going on. I know nothing's hot being hidden from me. I can see what's taking place. I'm not stupid. I'm not foolish." And the word that is used there to that he forms the hearts of all, or that he puts them in the place, it really means like someone squeezing the clay. Joyce has been involved in ceramics all of her life. Her mother taught her those skills. But it's not the same as those who work on a wheel. Joyce uses molds and pours, you know, the stuff in there to make ceramics. I know all about it, you can tell. But when someone works at a wheel, like we saw at Dollywood last week when we were on vacation, that takes something different. They take a piece of clay and they stick their thumb in and start to work that around. We saw the Cherokee people do the same thing when we went to North Carolina. And they form it, they shape it, and that's what that word means. And the clay has got to be in good state. It's got to be the right firmness and the right consistency for that potter to make it work. And I found a passage in Scripture years ago when I was in high school that has always stayed with me in Jeremiah 18. Listen to this. I'm going to read it straight out here out of the New NIV. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I intended to do for it." Do you get the picture? We are to be clay in the hand of the great potter. And when we are marred, he has a right to form us into another pot. And if he declares to us that he will bless us and then we sin against him, he can withdraw that blessing. And if he says that we should not be blessed, we're going to be punished, but if we would repent, he will withdraw that punishment and bless us. It is a perfect picture how God forms in his hands, squeezes the clay, shapes it so that it becomes what he wants it to be. But it requires our obedience and our cooperation and our repentance. The third thing I see in this passage is the victory is God's. Not only the choice, but the work is God's and the victory is God's. Nations build up their defensive armies. They depend upon their financial, business, corporate strength. They count on the resourcefulness and the power of the people. They parade their armies and weaponry. Every nation does this at some level. But God is not obligated to these things. He doesn't give us strength in our abilities. He brings strength and victory to the nation and to those people who will trust him. I was amazed back in 2001 when the terrorists attacked the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and tried to get to the Capitol back in that 9/11. I was in Springfield, Missouri at a board of directors meeting for the Illinois Baptist State Board of Directors. And we had some things we were dealing with and got up early that morning. I think we started about 8 o'clock with our meeting that day. And about 8:30, one of the men who worked for the government and pastored part-time, he stood up and said, "I just got a message on my phone that America is at war. We've been attacked." Well, as things began to shape that day, I couldn't get away from the meetings I was obligated to get back to my family till late that night. But as that day and the next week sort of began to unfold, you know what I realized? That the terrorists attacked what they thought was America's strength. They attacked the World Trade Center because they thought finances were the big thing that drove America. They attacked the Pentagon because they thought our great defense and our army was the thing that protected America. They were going to attack the Capitol because they thought our government was the great thing. You know what they did not attack? They did not attack a church. They did not attack a synagogue. They did not attack a mosque. Because terrorists know that it is not our religion, it is not our faith that Americans really consider to be their strength. If they had, Americans would not have returned to church just for about a couple of months after that. That happened on 9/11. By Christmas, churches no longer were enjoying that great uptick in their attendance that happened in churches after 9/11. Why was that? Because everything calmed down. Our finances got back sort of normal. The airlines returned to normal duty. Everything was cool. Why go to God and pray and beg and repent when everything seems to be all right? Are you with me? I don't long for this. I hope it doesn't happen, but I wish our terrorists would tremble when they think, "Don't make the Christians mad. If they get on their knees and start praying to God, we don't stand a chance." Hallelujah. But we don't see that. Because in America, it is no longer the victory is God's, unless we're at war, which we sort of are now, but not that it disturbs us much. Anything else other than trusting God is arrogance and pride. It is like saying, "My horse is stronger than yours and we can defeat you. My weaponry is better than yours and has the latest technology. We can defeat you. Don't threaten us because we got ships and boats and planes and tanks and we got a fighting force." When we trust in that and not in God, we are arrogant and prideful, and it is empty boasting and false confidence because the victory is God's. One last thing. The hope is God's. What does it tell us in verses 20 through 22? When a nation realizes its weakness and its dependence and its need, what should they turn to? Well, according to the writer of this psalm, which is a praise hymn, by the way, sung many times in the temple, when we need deliverance, a nation needs to turn to God. Now, I told my wife what I was going to be preaching about today, and she said, "Well, I hope you don't get political." And it is not my intention to get political at all. Because I think Baptist preachers ought to have a right to condemn Democrats as much as we do Republicans. We got to stop holding hands with either one of them and be the church of God. Well, I guess that's political, so let me stop. But I want to say this to you. The hope for America is not who we elect in a president. The hope for America is not who sits on the Supreme Court. The hope for America is not who we elect as the senator from the great state of Mississippi. All of those people have their role in things. But the hope for America is, will God's people lead the nation in returning to seeking after God and Him being with us. We have forgotten that. There's some great debate on whether he said it or not. Ronald Reagan quoted Abraham Lincoln, so I guess Ronald Reagan checked his sources. It has been quoted by Sarah Palin since then. She may not be any great orator, but she gets good material. Go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, and it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "We should not be so concerned whether God is on our side as much as we should whether or not we are on His side." And America better wake up. They have fallen into a pit, and they cannot get out unless they repent. Hope placed anywhere else or to anyone else other than God is fruitless. We cannot be saved by our government or our politicians, our national leaders, our own abilities, or our resources. Only God declares that He has the hope that we need. So I've tried to paint a caring, loving, respectful picture of our nation, but somebody's got to call them back to the things of God. And so I'm going to ask you right now, our musicians are going to play "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought," and I'm going to give you some things I want you to pray about. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. You don't have to close your eyes, but sit there prayerfully in whatever way is right for you. And I'm going to suggest you pray for some things while the music plays. And at the end of each prompt, when I think it's time to move on, I'll lead us in singing, he leadeth me by His own hand. And when I do that, you just join with me and we'll move to the next prompt. All right, so if you would, get in a prayerful position and let me ask you to pray for some things. Musicians, you can go ahead and start playing. People, I want to ask you today if you would pray for our president. Whether you like him or not, whether you think he's a bad man or not, God has used, and I taught a series on this last year to our senior adults on Wednesday morning, God can use even evil men to bring blessings to nations, men who have faults and who are frail. So pray for our president. Pray for our political leaders to leave the scheming and plotting and dealing behind and to acknowledge God and seek His guidance. Would you pray? Sing that chorus with me. He leadeth me. Let me ask you to pray for another area. Pray for our leaders and our citizens that we would repent of abortion. Perhaps not in 100% of the cases, but in the vast majority, it is simply a murder of convenience. Pray that we would repent of racism. There are mean and horrible people in every ethnic group and every race. But for the most part, people are people. we should love them, value them, no matter what their race. Pray that we would repent of being so greedy as a nation that we are willing to go into trillions of dollars of debt just to make sure that we're comfortable. And if we're guilty of arrogance and pride, pray that we would repent of that. Would you pray? Sing the chorus with me again. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by Thirdly, let's pray for a healing in our nation. Between the factions of red and blue, between factions of Republican and Democrat, old and young, black and white, the Native American, the Asian within our borders, the Hispanic, pray for a healing in our nation. Sing with me again. He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me, His faithful follower I would be, for by one last request. We could have many, but this: pray for our answers. We are being torn apart now about the immigration issue. Is there not wisdom that could come from God to bring a solution? About the drug epidemic, I'm not as much worried about the men and women who are making money off of drugs as I am the young people who are losing their lives to it. Families that are torn asunder by it, or the debt crisis. Who will it be? My grandchildren, their grandchildren? Somebody will have to pay for this. I pray that we would have answers. Health issues. The most frightening thing for anybody that's nearing retirement or in retirement today is, what do we do about our health coverage? We need answers. And we need truth in media. We need to return to the Walter Cronkites of the world that we thought at least told us the truth. Are there men and women who will do that today? Lord, give us answers to these problems. Would you pray? Amen, Lord, hear our prayer. I'm going to ask if you would to go ahead and stand. And Brother Bill's coming to lead us in one verse of this, He Leadeth Me. We might have some persons who need to come and pray or need prayer from me. Pastor Jordan is going to be here on the front pew. Pastor Charlie will be over here on the front pew. And they can respond if you come forward. Let's sing together and God lead you. You come.